Right, this is a thing now I've been working on for about a year and a half now. Let's see.
Perhaps you have to click once into it to give it focus. So
right.
Just tap on the tab there. Yeah, great.
Okay.
Yeah. Then you can put, use the right key.
Right. So I'm guessing most people here probably know what news groups are. Could be described as the very first social network, distributed discussion system. It's been around for longer than the internet itself, really. And for historical reasons, tends to be described as news groups, although it's not really news in the sense that most people would talk about. One little corner of that whole thing is comp.lang.tickle, which is the longest established forum for discussion of the language that most of us are keen on. The way that Usenet works on the sort of standard traditional lines is that you have multiple servers which provide a Usenet service, and the servers all talk to each other, so that stuff that gets posted on one ends up getting copied to all the others. Roughly speaking, it's not always the case, but mostly they end up having the same content. And the servers talk a protocol called NNTP, Network News Transfer Protocol, across the internet, and the users have various different client software, but the client software all has to talk NNTP, and the users have to set it up to connect to a server that they are able to use. And once upon a time that worked reasonably well, but these days a lot of people who might be interested in this stuff either don't have the knowledge to set that stuff up, or they're in an environment where it's not technically possible. For a while you might be behind a corporate firewall that doesn't allow NNTP to go through it. That was my situation for a while when I was at work, you couldn't get NNTP connection from where I was working, but you could get a web connection. So that's just basically saying what I used to say, what I just said. So it's, as an alternative to that, it's useful to be able to just have a web interface to this stuff. And you used to be able to do that through Google Groups. But that's no longer accessible, it no longer connects to the Usenet system. So I started thinking about doing something with Tickle to connect the Usenet system to the web, to make it more easily accessible. And luckily, there's a lot of stuff that you don't need to invent from scratch, because lots of relevant libraries already exist. I'm using Tickle HTTPD, old but fairly stable Tickle-based web server. It may not be as advanced as Navi server, and a few times I've wondered whether I might switch over, but it works for what I need. And there's Tickle code already existing to talk the NNTP protocol, and there's Tickle code and Tickle lib to decode MIME messages, which since Usenet posting kind of grew up together with email, there's a lot of shared infrastructure there, and MIME stuff generally is useful. And then storage, I'm using a bit of SQLite, which again is nice to use for Tickle. I'm using a bit of Redis through the RE Tickle library, and I'm using a thing called Distickle, which I talked about at the conference last year, which is a thing I put together to for distributed processing, basically using Redis as a communication medium for multiple processes, possibly even on multiple machines, to cooperate in a client server fashion, but with built-in caching and the distical system allows the clients and servers to find each other without knowing where they are. So my first attempt, because I didn't really know anything about web development at all, was to write something, or just write a TickleTK program, and then run it in the CloudTK system, which again has been talked about in the past. So I wrote this thing, NewsReader, which is a fairly simple TK, TickleTK program. And this thing, which is a little service which would do the communication to the news server. So this thing talks in NTP, and then Distickle kind of sits in the middle here. So the news reader processes ask for content from the news getter process, which then talks to the news server. This presents it as a TK screen, and then CloudTK communicates that to the users. That kind of worked, not too badly. The other thing I should mention here is that the server here, the specific server that I'm mainly using is the one called Eternal September, which is a nice free service, and the guy who runs it has been helpful in various ways, which carries all the text stuff. It doesn't carry all the sort of pirated videos and stuff that you find on the binary groups, but I'm not wanting to get into the business of carrying that stuff anyway. But that and most other servers have a restriction that you can only create maximum four connections from any one client system. Since you might have more than four people connected here, you can't just connect directly from the reader to the server. So they go through this. And this process opens one connection to the server, but I run four copies of the process. But because they're all registered with Distickle as the same named service, when any reader process asks for something, to read the index of a group or to read an article or whatever, the first of these processes here that's free will just pick up that request, do it, and get the information from the news server and return the information back to NewsReader. And that's not too bad, except there were a couple of hiccups with this. One was that I one day posted a link to this thing on the Mastodon social network, which has the property that if you put a link to a website on a posting, it gets propagated out to hundreds of other Mastodon servers, and each of those wants its own copy of the web page that you've linked into. And what would happen is that each request to here would start a new newsreader process. So I then got sort of hundreds of newsreader processes with CloudTK connections all being started up at the same time. And the machine just became totally unusable. And I had to eventually had to reboot it to recover. So I could avoid that just by not posting such links. But if the thing ever got really popular, I would quite like it to be able to support a bit of load without falling over. And the other thing that was a drawback here was that, first of all, I got complaints from people who didn't want to enable JavaScript, because you can't run CloudTK without having JavaScript enabled. There are some security conscious people who don't like to have JavaScript running if it can be avoided. And the other thing was I tried to get this working on mobile devices and phones and so on, and I had real trouble getting CloudTK to behave sensibly on mobile devices, mainly for things like input fields. When you when you click into an input field on a form in TK, if you're on a phone, you want your keyboard, your virtual keyboard, to appear. But there's no way to tell it. CloudTK doesn't know anything about the fact that you're in an input field. There's no way to get the keyboard to pop up on the device without sort of very complicated workarounds anyway. And there were other things like scaling didn't work very sensibly, you can zoom in and out and so on. So I struggled with that for a bit, and then eventually with all this thought, you know, maybe it would make more sense to just do this as a more conventional kind of a web page using HTML. So that was why I then moved to just to cool stuff. This is just talking a little bit about the way that the distical system interacts with NMTP, the Network News Transfer Protocol. When you go to the news server and ask for various bits of information, some of the stuff that you get back, like the list of groups that's available, is something that's not going to change very often. It might change once a week or two. And when you get a specific article, articles generally don't change. There are some provision for cancelling and editing and superseding articles, but it's very rarely used. It's not well supported. So pretty much you can assume that once you've got an article, it's not going to change. So you can cache it for however long seems reasonable. I generally cache them for about a week. But the range of article numbers that's available might change from second to second. Again, the overview, the metadata for articles that are available, again, will change as new articles get posted. So these things you can't cache for very long. You might cache them for a few seconds or a minute at the most, but not more than that, because you want people to see updates as they happen. So that caching stuff gets done through the distical system in a fairly straightforward way. Parallelism, I think I talked about this a bit. Okay, the user interface, yeah, okay. So that's what I just talked about. So then I switched to web-based system. So then I ended up with this kind of design where you've got the news server, you've still got the same news getter processes accessed through distical, but on the other side of this you've just got plain tickle HTTPD. I started with tickle HTTPD because the standard CloudTK was built on top of that, so I already got a bit familiar with it, so I just stuck with using that. and you can configure it by writing lots of tickle code to generate stuff on the fly. Once I got that working, it worked reasonably well. So that was okay for sort of current discussion. But then I wanted to try and handle history a bit. So I started looking at adding facilities to be able to search back through the history. Unfortunately, just as I was doing that, the Eternal September server had a nasty crash that wiped out all its history. And before that, it had about 10 years worth of history, and then it restarted with nothing. So I then looked for another approach, found another server which had 20 years worth of history, I now connect to that for the historical searches. And I've got another four NewsGetter processes that talk to that. And you can query them from the web interface. But that only went back to 2003. Yeah. And then I realised it was possible to do a bit more than that. The Internet Archive has files of archived Usenet postings that go back to about 1990 or late 80s. So I downloaded a load of these, which took several weeks because there's a lot of stuff there, and hacked up some software in another little process here that just searches through these files. Now they're in zipped inbox format, which is not immediately very accessible, but I hacked up something that would just unzip that on the fly and search it. There's a neat little utility called inbox grep that will search through inbox format stuff. So then I had all that. And that's pretty much how it stands at the moment. But I've got these three different sources. This is News Utility, is yet another distical server process, so it gets queries from there. It doesn't only do the searching of the archives, it does a few other things as well. Anyway. But the user interface has become a bit of a mess, because basically these things are all had separate elements to the user interface. There's the current postings, there's the historical search that looks at the online stuff, and there's the other historical search that looks at the zipped files, so it's kind of messy. Also, the way that the archive files get searched is not very efficient, and sometimes it takes too long and it times out and just gives you an error message. So the next phase, which I'm still working on, is intended to fix those things, but it's quite tricky and it's not yet all working correctly. I might be able to give a quick sneak preview of it, but basically I then introduced another server process in the middle of this called News Hub. Now the idea of that is to consolidate the input, the news articles that come from all these different services, combine them together into a consistent whole, which is indexed at least in SQLite. For the stuff that's available online, I don't save the articles in here. For the really old stuff, which is no longer available online, that the articles are in here as well. So then the front end of the web interface just queries this, and it doesn't care about how old the article is. This thing says, okay, it's so old, so I know it would be here, it might be here, and so on. And it puts them all together and presents them to the front end so you can have a simpler user interface there. That's the idea, anyway. That's that. The site, the current site is just called newsgroup.org. Unfortunately, I have this legal problem in the UK, where I am, which is that they brought in this thing called the Online Safety Act earlier this year, which is written kind of under the assumption that every online service is something like Google or Facebook, and expects you to go through a hugely complicated risk assessment and procedure and have a documented procedures for responding to complaints and problems and there are literally thousands of pages of legal guidance about this thing. And for a small site like mine, it's just not practical to even begin to comply with it. Now, you can avoid complying with it by just not allowing access from the UK, so I'm afraid that's what I do now. And the source code is online as well. Now, can I try a quick...
Yeah.
If you
make a double click,
as
Firefox should do a double click on it.
Ah, wait a minute, that didn't go back. Double click where?
No, you have the URL before.
Otherwise I will just copy it.
Oh, no.
I don't want to open that.
No, I don't actually want that one.
Okay. What do you want?
I'll need to type it.
Type in
the URL,
in the browser?
Yeah.
Okay, you're
You could start with that one. Yeah, you could just start with that one.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Do you want to have it larger, so it's like that?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Okay. So,
So sit down and make yourself comfortable.
Yeah, sure.
So it's drum localization, you will have fun.
Okay. Where's the slash?
Yeah, drum keyboard slash is here.
Let's see if this works. It might not work here. We don't have system. Okay. At.
Yeah, I will put it.
Okay, so once you log in, you'll get a list of the groups that you've previously looked at, and that's just that's the same as the existing.
This was your tickle and photo.
That's all here.
Okay, so we got conference online. I haven't even seen that yet myself. Well done. Okay. There we go. If you want to look for other stuff, you now go into this search, and you just get a flat list of stuff, but you can then filter this. So if you want to look for stuff, well, I don't know, if we look for a conference, maybe we can find... Okay, so we've got
mm-hmm. So we had 2007, 2004. So.
Okay. 98, for example, random conference notes. I don't know whether that link will still work anymore. I doubt it. But,
Let's try it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's...
Press the back button to get back. Oh,
yeah.
To open a new one.
It opens a new one.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Okay. That's pretty much it. You can go back to that. Actually, one point that is might be worth mentioning is just that now if you click into one of these, links, you now get the whole thread context of the article that you found in the search, which doesn't happen in the current version, which I think is a bit nice. So that's it, basically. Yeah.
Come in. So we are 2 times back in history. Great. Any questions?
In Usenet, it's very important to keep track of the articles that are already read and that are new.
Yeah.
Does this one make it? Does it memorize which articles are already read?
In a simple way, yeah. I mean, if you go back to the Comptological group, at the moment, this is slightly.
The browser displays the link.
Oh, we're not seeing it here. Yeah, the yellow highlight is actually everything that's new for this particular user. If I go, that's not a very good example either. If I go back into it now, this is not fully working. Maybe I should go back to the standard one.
Might be just a suggestion for the next phase.
No. It does do that. It's just.
If it doesn't work, it is okay to just say yes and no.
Yeah.
Nerves are always playing. So if they start playing, it takes forever.
That's not going to work either. Hold on. It kind of works, but. I had quite an elaborate system to track exactly what articles were read for every user. But after using it for a while, I realized that I never really used that myself. All I really cared about was which articles were new since the last time I went into that group, which is actually much easier to track. It's just a single our count for each group, and that's all I do now. I think that's really good enough.
Okay. You can also post messages, of course.
Yeah.
You didn't speak about that. But
no. And
you always post by internal September. If you post.
Again, there are complications with that
because the username.
I have a registration system, so anybody can just go on as a guest and read, but to post, I think you need to have some element of accountability, not to get flooded with spam and so on, so you have to send me an email to register to get posting rights. The posting is, depending on whether it's a moderated group or not, the code that it goes through is completely different because.
Okay.